But what about if we can circle back a little bit and talk about the role that you feel collaboration plays in creating winning innovation teams, both within the innovation teams itself and in collaborating with other teams? Let's say they are wanting to do this faster and maybe they have five innovation teams running parallel. How can you avoid duplication of work and learning across the teams, but also, of course, within the teams themselves? Do you have any tools or processes or ways of doing that in an efficient manner?
Yeah. So collaboration comes, again, with that safety argument that we talked about before, the research right. that we did. So it becomes much easier to collaborate if we really feel safe around each other. So we spent a lot of time building that safety. And that's particularly within the teams. I think also across teams, if there's multiple teams running in parallel, then having them help each other, give each other feedback can be extremely helpful. I think it's collaboration with the rest of the organization is always a little bit of a challenge. You want to do it enough and not too much. You want to be collaborative in the sense that all diversity of perspectives and inputs is amazing. Innovation is not a democratic process, though. Mm-hmm. So you want to get a ton of inputs from everyone. You want to talk to the skeptics. I love interviews with people that hate innovation and are extremely skeptical. For all of most of all, the old grumpy guy somewhere in a corner. And the reason is that they will tell you what's going to go wrong, and they know. Now they will also tell you that it's going to fail, and you shouldn't listen to that part. Mm. But the old and grumpy guys, they're really, really helpful. So I think it's about finding out who's going to help you propel your product for product or project forward. And that's not just within the company, it's also outside. Finding those customers or customer groups. Mm-hmm. We're currently with one of the large pharmacos. We're running a project on on HIV and AIDS in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And we're really deeply collaborating with the users in the field and with the people that do the distribution in the field. So we're spending time there with sex workers, with truckers, with migrants, with the doctors and nurses. So those collaborations are key because those people know. And we could have done the same program in a headquarters somewhere in New York or wherever. But we do it in the field with the people because only there the rubber hits the road. But it does require, again, creating that very safe space, which is a human thing. We're all quite good at it if we're intentional. We've got the skills inside us, but very often we just forget, and we forget to do it, and we forget to take time for it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that innovation is not a democratic process. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because we of course see it as a democratic process within the innovation team where they are voting for what they want to do in terms of pivot or proceed. But you're thinking more in terms of the strategic level or...
Yeah, I'm thinking about large groups. So in your team, in a team, I think these teams are small typically. Amazon, they talk about the two pizza team, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It can be fed by two pizzas. Because if the team becomes bigger, then you get so much communication, hassle, and overhead that it becomes very, very challenging. We find the same, particularly in early stages of innovation. We work in teams of three. So given the size of American pizzas, you can feed them with one pizza, particularly here in Europe. So within that team, it is very much a team decision on where you go. But once you go broader, this is not about voting. So I'm not a big fan of those idea management systems where people put in their idea and then people start to vote on them. Mm-hmm. The crowd is just ridiculously bad at identifying a good innovation. The crowd is really good at estimating the amount of marbles in a jar, the direction of the stock market, all those good things. But it's just bad at identifying innovation opportunities. So there I'm saying it's not a democratic process. There it's really about leadership. It's really about ensuring that somebody takes a bold decision. I mean, remember the time when somebody told us that he was making a device that was slightly bigger than a phone and slightly smaller than a laptop. We thought that was a bad idea. Mm. It wasn't.
Or Twitter, who wants to have 140? So yeah, I remember that too. Mm-hmm. And also what would you say in terms of actually setting the innovation strategy, basically identifying the search areas that are relevant for the company? Should we be in IoT or not? Why should we be in this and this? So having some kind of focal point for innovation, I guess that is also not something that should be done as a democratic process.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, it's a strategy process.
Yeah,
so this is something you do at the top with the strategy team or the business development team or whatever you have in place, or just with the board. Depending on how big you are, you might have some consultant support. But it's a very big part of leadership and the start also of an innovation journey. I've had organizations that say, we just want innovation, and it doesn't matter where. That's just nonsense. Innovation is not an objective. It's a tool to solve an issue or to capture an opportunity. This is one of the responsibilities of the top, is to identify where you want innovation, in which business or geography, indeed upcoming technology, as you mentioned, like IoT or whatever.
Interesting, very interesting talking with you. I can see we're coming close to the end of our time. We still have a little bit left, but is there anything that you feel that I should have asked that I forgot about? We've been going through everything from how do you find, select and nurture winning innovation teams, how do you evaluate the performance of these teams, and also we spoke a little bit about collaboration and methods and processes and tools. What's missing, anything?
I think we captured a lot. I think
the mindset, we spoke about the importance of that, of course.
Yeah, I think very often people forget that from the top, there's quite a bit of work to do. And we spoke about one just yet, having a big vision. I recognize a couple of others as well. So I think ensuring that everybody understands why we want innovation, not just where, but also why. Mm-hmm. And there's only three reasons I've seen in all the companies I've served. And it's either because people are afraid to lose something. They think their business is going to die. We see that a lot in the financial sector right now. Or it's because they want to capture some kind of opportunity or run in some kind of direction. People want to be completely green by 2030 and just innovate your way towards that. Or it's a third category, and that's people that say, I'm looking around me and I see all these cool opportunities. New startups, new technologies. If I don't use them, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one, is the will to innovate, being crystal clear about that. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time on talent in this call. I think that is critical, how to select and nurture them.
Mm-hmm. How about someone, I can't remember who it was, said that there are really only two different types of strategies. One is you focus on cost leadership, and there's going to be only like one, maybe max, two in a market, And then you have the ones trying to differentiate, and they can go for higher margins and so on, but the cost efficiency is not at the core. I guess approaching it from that perspective, depending on what kind of strategy they have, let's say Amazon has, of course, a cost leadership strategy. When they apply innovation and they identify search areas for innovation, that would be affecting in how they go about finding what they want to do.
I think whenever somebody says to me there's only two strategies, I'm immediately figuring out
no.
because there must be something
And but, I think, but do you think that if you try and do a middle road, that you won't be killed? I mean, either you are the cost leader or you're not. And if you don't focus on that, you're going to get run over. It's like a Karate Kid, you know, don't walk in the middle of the road. Either you walk on the left side or the right side, you're going to get run over.
I don't know. I think recently we've seen some business models where people were able to deliver, to outperform on servers at lower costs. Mm-hmm. Think about in a B2B environment, AWS, Amazon Web Services. Mm-hmm. It competes at on cost very well with having your own infrastructure, and on certain outperforms on many dimensions. If we think about B2C example with Uber, Uber in many cases, in many cities, was more was cheaper than the alternative and way, way easier. I think
that's what business model innovation can provide. The holy grail.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think business model innovation is a real is an entire call worth. We could spend another hour on that. But indeed, I think that's the people that I find really inspiring. Whenever they hear somebody says there's only two options, they are stuck. On finding a third.
No, that's a good point. Yes, absolutely. And to make all of that happen, you need really great teams. And to move that forward, you need to back these teams up with everything you got in terms of having them, give them time to practice innovation, understand the mindset, learn about innovation. Do you offer like an innovation academy or anything like that to with different modules where you help companies not only coach and mentor, but actually teach people the basics of innovation?
Yeah, no, we do that, and we build them specifically for organizations, and we have open enrollment things. I just realized that we talked at some point about A players, and you just said you need the right people and the right teams. In the construct of a large organization, I'm struggling right now with a client with this large infrastructure provider. They need a head of product for their digital team. That person does not fit in any of their HR policies. They just can't pay these people. So again, here, being creative around how do you solve that, how do you find somebody that is not like a big time manager that leads an entire business, but leads actually something really small, and pay them a ridiculous salary that might be close to what the CEO earns? Mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was at Dell, where they had VPs. So vice presidents, extremely senior folk, making a ton of money, leading very small things. It's those kind of decisions that are really, really hard to make.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you mentioned HR, because to us, this is also a key player for innovation. We don't just see them as someone doing their little thing over there, but actually integrating them into what we're trying to do. And also legal and HR, almost, if we can, have them on the team, so that they can see firsthand what needs to be done, and see if they can adopt an entrepreneurial mindset to find ways of walking around these barriers. Because if it's written in HR, you need to hire a certain profile and so on, and you feel that, no, you need another profile. I mean, you just have to work together to make that a reality.
Yeah.
So, yeah. These are always the issues in big corporations. It's so easy when you work with a startup. You do what you want. You come into the big corporations and you want to work in that way. It's all the processes and policies and procedures and rules and all that.
Yeah, and at the same time, I coach a couple dozen startups. And there we've got different challenges again.
Different challenges, but it's more market-related or technologically related.
It's not so much easier on the other side, guys. It's not easier
on the other side. I don't know. Well, anyways, it's been really, really great talking to you. Hope we can stay in touch. I think this concludes our talk. It's almost 1 hour now. Thank you so much, Mark, and have a great day.
Thank you. This was a real pleasure.
Thank you. Take care. Bye. Thank you.